Blog Talk Radio. baby, baby, you. Can you feel it, baby?
Can you feel it? But do you feel it like I feel it? Yeah, I know it's like that sometimes. But I feel it, baby. I feel you.
Sexy Radio, and I'm your host, Red Snapper, and we're going to be bringing it to you right now as we just had Kim, Can You Feel It, and we're going to keep it going. Right now, I think we may have our guest. I'm going to see who it is. We have a caller. Caller, state your name and where you're calling from.
This is Claudia Moss, and I'm calling from Atlanta, Georgia.
And how are you, Miss Claudia Moss?
I am fabulous on this spectacular night.
You know, it's been a long time. I've been wanting to talk to you for the longest, and I am so glad and honored to have you on the show today.
Thank you. I am honored to be on the show, so thank you so much for inviting me. And I love the music.
Oh, yeah. We try to do it on here. You know, this is Word Sexy Radio. And just in case you didn't know, this is Grown Folks Radio, so all things go on here. We cuss, we do it all, so you don't have to worry about having to keep it back. You can be yourself and do your thing. That's what we do on this fucking show, so I just want you to know that. All right, so tell us about you, huh?
I am, let's see, a lover of life. I am one for walking in the woods. I love trails. I love climbing mountains. And Stone Mountain is approximately 4 miles away from where I'm sitting. So to go to the top and lay out is, to me, is next to godliness. Just fabulous. Not only an outdoors person, but I love the quiet sanctity of a corner in a nice sun-splashed room with a fabulous book or good conversation, plants, colors, that type of picnic, that type of person, even picnic indoors.
Ain't nothing wrong with that. I know you're a sensuous woman. I can tell by some of the pictures and some of the poses that you have on your Facebook page and all the things that you seem to be doing. You seem to be someone who is sexually inclined with their self, and you definitely know what you want, I'm sure. So we'll probably be talking a little bit about that later on. But right now what we're going to do is get into you. Tell us about your books and what you're doing and how you got into the literary game in the first place.
Well, I would say that every story that I've written, every story that I write is more or less a love story. And I am realizing that romance drives my pen, my laptop, but I'm also looking at the possibility of walking out into romance, however, twisting it with the paranormal. Thrillers, mysteries, because you've got to be able, I think, to do more than one thing. And if you can do one thing well, you can do other things well, too. Just give yourself a chance as an artist to step out there and do it. So my books thus far are Dolly, If You Love Me, Come, and the Wanda Bee series. Wanda Bee Wonders is a character that I've created in this series who has her way and speaks her mind on various topics related to racial lines in America. So she's speaking in terms of black and white on anything you can fathom. So therefore, I have about 60-plus stories spread out through three books that let you know who she is. And she's a very comical, very comic-serious type person. So while you're laughing, hopefully, you're also thinking, oh, wow, this woman is really saying something.
Right. Well, that sounds pretty good. And it's interesting that you spoke about the paranormal because I have done that same thing. I've taken erotica. And, you know, paranormal is erotic anyway, especially the vampire series, any kind of vampire series. You know, the vampire is not nothing without sex and, you know, Dracula and all of that. And also with the incubus, succubus type deals, you know, if anybody knows about that, I've done a couple of books and I have a couple of series that I've taken the erotica to another step and have stepped into the paranormal. But, you know, you have given me an ideal. Since you have spoken that, we ought to do some type of an anthology that would be different. Maybe we can get some authors that are interested in a sexual side but a paranormal side and kind of write a story about anything that's something to do with the supernatural or the paranormal but with a sexual twist to it. That sounds like a good idea, and you've just given me that by saying that. Because I know there's
great.
Other authors out there. Yeah, because, I mean, there's other authors who probably do that. I have two books out that are on the subject. One is called The Peculiar Ones, and it's a vampire-type story, but it deals with slavery and to the present. So it was kind of something that kind of started from the tribes being brought here, and then, you know, they have the vampire virus or whatever and bring it in. So, and then there's a paranormal that I did as well called Curse of the Nocturnal Seductress that basically is about a succubus who seems to get released and goes out and she does her thing. But, you know, I mean, it's real good,
well,
but it's not about me. Let's talk about
exciting.
You. Yeah, that's good.
Is it on a Kindle book?
Those books are Kindle. They're paperback. They're out there under Red Snapper. You can get those. But
awesome.
They're out there available right now. And, you know, those are, I just love sex, and I love putting it in any kind of thing. I mean, I'm not just an erotic writer, but I love writing erotica. So, but it's interesting that you mentioned that because authors need to try to broaden their horizons and move and try other things as well. So we definitely want to, you know, try to do that. But right quick, let me see if I got my sidekick here. Are you here?
Can you hear me?
I can. How's it going, brother?
Ah, man, it is going well. I can't complain. Better than I should. Really.
All right, well, say hello to our guest, Miss Claudia Moss.
How you doing, Miss Moss?
Hello, how are you? I'm fabulous, thank you.
Good to hear.
This is D.B. Hint. I'm sorry, I didn't mention his name. This is Mr. D.B. Hint. He's an author as well of erotica and various other things as well. So he's also my co-host on the show. So.
Oh, great.
So you got two men around you right now, and there'll be some others that'll be coming on too. And just before we go any further, I don't know how much time you have, but this is a two-hour show, and of course you don't have to do the whole two unless you want to. But usually what we do after we interview you, we get into a subject matter that may be dealing with relationships or anything that some of the guests our fans might want to speak about. So you're welcome to stay. We're going to get more on you because, like I said, you're an interesting person. I've been watching and looking at you for quite some time. So if Red Snapper is looking at you, trust and believe there's a reason that's there that you must have intrigued me in some type of way. So
usually
going to be talking.
It's because they have breasts. Breasts intrigue Red Snapper, and they intrigue DV, but, you know, more so Red Snapper.
Well, yeah, she is fine, I have to say that. But anyway, that was one thing. But it's just the way you carry yourself on your pictures that intrigued me to even look at some of your literary work because, you know, you just seem like a woman that is not scared to bring out her inner self, and I don't think that you have any problems with bringing out your inner sexual self. So can you talk to us a little bit about that?
Oh, yes. I think confidence drives the inner sexual self because everything that you see on the outside, if it manifests to you as sensual and sexual and exciting and just eclectic, then that to me says that the inner of that soul, of that person, of that woman, of that man is reflective of a self-love that's embracing so that when you can embrace yourself from within, the outside flows. No matter how society would perceive it, it's just all sensuality because you're accepting and loving from within. So
okay.
I say that because if I am somehow exuding sexuality and sensuality, it's because within me I'm accepting all that I am and thinking,
okay.
Wow.
You know, something that was absolutely magnificent the way you explained that. Let's get to the fucking truth. That is it. I love it. Now, can we get down and dirty with you if it's okay? You a freak, right? Just say it, because I see it all over you, baby. There's nothing wrong with that, though. Is that okay for you to answer that? Or is that going out of the rim? Is that going out of my, am I going out of my way on that one? If I am, let me know. This is not a scripted show, okay? It's not scripted, baby. I'm sorry. We say what the fuck we want to on this show, okay?
I see.
It's okay, though. You don't have to answer if you don't want to. It's fine. I don't want to put you on the spot. But, you know, we're Sexy Radio. We are live grown-ups here. And, you know, I was just interested. But, I mean, of course, you don't have to answer anything that's personal if you do not want to. But I just see that you seem to be a woman who knows what she wants. And I get that from you. So is that true?
I think that's very, very much true. Yes.
Okay.
I am accepting of the fact that I think I know Claudia. And I know what's exciting to Claudia. I know what is a jump-off point for her, and I embrace that.
Okay. Well, DV, I know you got a couple of questions that you have in your mind right now, so why don't you go ahead and ask real quick.
I'm kind of worried right now because Claudia is referring to herself in third person. And, you know, so that kind of means that there's an intermediary. There's some voices
DV,
in there.
DV, she
what's
did
that
because Red Snapper did it. Red Snapper put himself in third person, so
yeah, but
she's coming
both
back.
Both y'all got me worried. You know, I am worried. I'm feeling like there are more than just three people here. Yeah.
Well, we don't know. There's another person we might bring in a few minutes, but it's going to be in third person.
I'm talking about the special people y'all bringing along. So she referring to more than three people. Yeah, y'all got your ego and y'all got your representatives.
I'm trying to get left out.
So DV gonna DV is going to speak to himself in third person as well as not to be left out. So
I know that's right.
DV feels no, but in all honesty, like I don't want, you know, I'm kind of one of those people that, like I said, I enjoy erotic literature like Red. And I think that if you're going to write something sensual and you're going to be sensual, there's nothing wrong with saying that it's sensual. Or, you know, kind of Red. Red's the blunt person. I'm more of the, I guess, undercover guy. You know, I say things in code. Red is just overt. You know, but in all actuality, we are, you know, this is who we are. Everybody's afraid to talk about sex, some taboo thing that black people, as a rule of thumb, don't talk about. You know, we can be obvious with it. We can be nonchalant. But at the end of the day, it is what it is. You know, we all got here that way, and it's going to continue. We're going to continue to propagate and perpetuate that way. So, I mean, in all honesty, you know, Ms. Moss, if you really want to say something and get it off your chest and say it like, you know, this is the way I want to say it, then by all means, don't be afraid to do it.
Yeah, and
oh,
my thing is, we want you to be comfortable. We want you to come back. We don't want you to feel offended. And if you don't like something, say you don't like it, because, you know, it's your opinion. It's fine. Yeah, I'm going to say what the fuck I want to say, so you might as well say what you want to. and if I'm offending you by cussing, then tell me that too. I probably will still do it anyway, but no, I'm just playing. Now, if I offend you, just let me know, because I'm not trying to do that. I just want you to be comfortable and be yourself, because that's what this show is about you being yourself and telling us what got you into the game and what made you so sensuous, or what drives you when you write sexuality or whatever. You know, just just to talk to them. That's all we're asking.
Well, I think what got me into writing erotica was just the beginnings of writing erotic poetry. I didn't start right away with writing erotica. I would go out on the poetry stages in Atlanta and just blast away with what I thought was powerful, romantic, sensual, erotic imagery in poetry, and then see how that reflected in the faces of the audience. And usually they would be like, but then even though they would have a shocked look, they still wanted more. And so I found that when you stand up on a stage and speak in sensuality, body language goes with it, and attitude comes on like a pair of short shorts and high heels, and you can understand why rappers who are erotic in nature too take on a kind of cocky sensuality when they stroke the stage and themselves and walk around and look at the audience. It's like, yeah, I'm talking to you, that's right. So that kind of energy went into the writing of erotica. And also I had peers that I looked at and enjoyed as far as reading their erotica. And my number one writer that I started out reading so much of was Fiona Zedd, and her last name is Zedde, and her erotica was so deliriously delicious. I mean, it's like you could taste every lick, you could taste every mouthful, and her imagery was so vivid when she was painting her scenes, all of them, erotica and otherwise. Until, you know, she'd bring you vicariously with her, tumbling down into the pillows and the blankets and the flesh and the warmth. So I'd have to give her props on that. And then I said, hey, let me see. I think I'll write a couple of erotic short stories from this poetry and just see how it feels like a brand new pair of stretch jeans or a new skirt, and it felt great. And so I said, okay, I like these short stories. And at the time, I didn't put so much erotica when I started selling my erotica. I put in the romance, and I was writing for Black Romance and Jive, and that Sterling McFadden chain of national magazines. So that they kind of gave me the warm water leeway to wade out into the ocean of leaving the water near the shore that was kind of romantic behind, and then just going plunging into erotica. And then when you plunge into erotica, I think you've got to leave behind the notion of, oh my goodness, what would somebody think? I'm writing erotica. What if they think this about me or that about me? But then you have to erase that in your mind and just say, okay, I'm doing what I want to do because I'm grown and I make my choices and my decisions. I don't care. And you just write it.
Well, yeah, you did, because you don't even use a pseudonym. You just write the shit and put it out there and fuck it, right? I mean, if they don't like it, then that's on them. They don't read it. That's what I feel, because, you know, just like this show, if people don't want to listen to it, they don't have to. They have choices. You know, they can go somewhere else or whatever. We want you to enjoy it, but we want you to... Well, what I'm finding, and mostly in the African-American community, I would say, is there's a lot of people that want to be carefree and want to be out there in a manner if they thought it wouldn't be so taboo, but... A lot of people get this thing, they're worried about what people say, like you said, they're worried about who's going to talk about them if they read this book, or if they do this, or they listen to that. So they do it behind closed doors, or they do it where people don't see it. They'll slip behind somebody. They'll talk about it in front of someone and say, oh, that's nasty, that's negative, I'm not doing that, and then they turn around and buy the product without nobody watching so they can enjoy it in their secrets.
I just want to say something real quick. like Miss Moss, I could buy the imagery that you use whenever you're conveying yourself. You know, you can really tell that you started off as a poet and doing poetry because you fill your words with a lot of similes and metaphors so that when you're talking, you're also visualizing, you know. So, like, I noticed that when you were, you know, speaking of yourself and when Red asked, you know, what have you gotten into, you know, what got you into erotica. But also something that Red said about us, the one thing that I think that we fail to do as black authors is expand our audience because we're constantly trying to get the black audience that we just completely, you know, pass by, you know, our, you know, white people or any other type of people. Like, you know, the, what is it, 50 Shades of Grey? You know, that's
right.
Considered a rock. You know, and all of a sudden that's blowing, right. You know, so, and let's be honest, you know, a lot of the erotic literature that is out there usually has white people on front, you know, some guy with bulging muscles, some woman half naked, and they eat that stuff up. So what if black people aren't buying it? Maybe they'll come around, maybe they won't. But if we limit ourselves to specifically black people, then we as authors have failed because literature is supposed to touch everything, not simply a specific genre of people or a specific section of the population.
That's a good point. That's a very good point. And in my latest work entitled Not Without Passion, I have, I think, a representative of several different groups. So I'm not just marketing to African-Americans and black people, though I love African-Americans and black people. And when I write, they come to the forefront. But I love other people as well. So some of my characters are Caucasian, some are Latina, some are even Nigerian, and to step out of just African-American. So, yes, I think it's very important for an author to broaden his or her horizon and include as many people as they can. If readers can see themselves in your work, they will be more inclined to come back again. But I do think it's important to say this. Whites can typically write about whites and be bestsellers, and African Americans and others will come and read them. But somehow African Americans have got to include more whites in order to cross over, and maybe that's just the nature of the beast. But I would love to see it where an African American author can be one of the 10 on Kindle Millionaire Club with bestsellers rocking across the nation just because it's a good book, it's good erotica, it's a good story, and maybe
right.
There are other races involved. But I don't have to lead with a Caucasian character.
Right. Well, you know, I think the part of that. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. She said a key phrase, a good story. The thing is, nobody knows who you are when you've written a book. I think what we fail to do, especially as, you know, people who move from bookshow to bookshow, is we don't approach white people. We automatically assume that they're not going to understand what we're writing, and generally we're right. But what I'm saying is because that's already in our heads, we only, you know, find the black people to solicit to rather than pull everybody to the side and say, look, sex is sex. It don't matter what color your skin is. We all get down and we all do the nasty. You know, so, I mean, ultimately, all that matters is the story because the sex is universal. You know, and all
you know,
I
agree with you, but this is what I'm going to say. The problem that we are doing, and we talk about this almost every time we get on the show, is the marketing of our work. If you're going to keep putting stuff out there that's looking urban and African-American and all that, and I hate to say it that way, but if you're going to put stuff out there where it's approaching one type of person, then that's all you're going to get. You know, if you keep putting these books out that has the skyline and it has the you know, everything African-American on it,
right,
and it doesn't have anything else on
predictable.
It, then who,
yeah,
who's going to pick
predictable.
It up? It's going to be, they're going to think it's something else, even though you may not be trying to go for that. So it depends how you put it out there on who's going to draw your book. And then the way you interpret your characters and, you know, create your characters in your book, you know, you want to have characters that are multicultural characters and stuff. I mean, even if it is, you know, I try to write what I write. I don't write just to African Americans. I never have really just written to African American community. I've always just written to those who like to read, and that's what I do. Especially with the paranormal series and stuff that I was talking about earlier, you have to, you know, just be real. We don't read as much as we should as a people. So you're going to have to be able to branch out to everyone. You want to try to bring us in, but you still want to branch out to everybody who wants to read if you want to be successful. It's about reading. So, yes, we want to draw our people in and so that they know that we're there doing it, but we also want to let others know that this is a work for everyone. So it's, it's just like the old music industry used to be. When we used to have black music out, they wouldn't put black people on the front because they were scared that the white people wouldn't buy it, and they wouldn't if they saw. They had to put flowers or something else or white faces on the covers because in order to get people to buy it because that was the only way they could market it. Nobody would buy it.
They
got to a point where
sing the song
they were
song before white people on the cover of the album.
Exactly. So and then it got to a point where it got really bad when they started finding out it was black people singing. They started remaking songs with white artists. So you know, I mean, we gotta look at what we're doing here. You know, it's nothing wrong if you're an urban fiction writer. I'm not downing that genre. I'm saying if that's the audience you want to reach, then fine. Do what you have to do to reach that audience. But we as a people, when we write, a lot of times we always try to put our stuff out, let everybody know we're black. I mean, it's nothing wrong with being black. I'm proud of that. But if you're selling books, you need to put it out so that people can buy it. People, not a certain genre of folks.
Right.
That's a great point. That's a great point, and thank you. I'm wondering if we made our covers, let's say, look, colorless. If our covers are colorless, would we see an increase in sales then? Meaning, you know, if you just look at your cover and in a paranormal novel that you any one of us would write, and there's a dark landscape and a tree and something else. Would we sell across the border, across racial lines, or would people still read to find out if this is an African American author and just not buy it?
The thing is, they don't. They won't know by name. You know what I'm saying? They will never, because when we look at an author's name, we don't, unless it's blatantly obvious. You know, I don't know too many, you know, white people named Shaquita. So if Shaquita writes a book, then you know it's kind of obvious. But what I'm saying is this. The reason why a lot of people write under pseudonym is simply because they don't want to be thought of as a black author, Asian author, you know, or you know, Hispanic author. They'd rather be known as a person who writes books. So if we stop stereotyping our own books by putting money and cars and jewels and cash on the front, and it was something that represented symbolism, like if you're writing a paranormal book, you know, like I said, you know, with a dying tree, or you know, or an empty, or you know, an empty tire hanging from a tree. You know what I'm saying? Hey, more people are prone to buy it because they know that you're serious about your craft. If you're talking paranormal and you got some half naked woman with blood hanging down, you know, and maybe a nipple showing and cash in the background, people can't take you seriously. You know, I mean, part of being a white.
I'm not saying you got to go ahead.
And like everybody, you know, writing a book is a small percentage of what it is. Marketing plays a big, big deal. And if you take your craft seriously, that means you'll take the cover seriously. Because I've seen a lot of great covers.
I don't think you got to go completely away from the African Americans on the front of the book, because I'm going to tell you, L.A. Banks, who is now gone, she rest in peace, had a paranormal series that was out that was absolutely magnificent, and her main character was an African-American woman. But she had other characters in there, and it was known that there were different multiracial characters in there, and her works were phenomenally and put out to everyone. So it wasn't just, and a lot of blacks don't even know who she is. You know, it's just the people who read that type of genre, though. You see,
yeah,
that's the thing.
You're right.
You'd be surprised that most of the characters. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, thank you. I just found out about L.A. Banks, Red, this year.
Uh-huh.
And
right.
She has that whole, you're absolutely right. She is on Amazon with so many books, and her covers are beautiful. Well,
she's written in several genres,
yes.
And her paranormal is what really put her out. She's a romance writer. She was. I mean, she passed away last year from cancer. But she crossed a lot of genres in her writing. But what really got her out there was the paranormal, the Vampire Huntress series that she had out. And that's what really put her out there. Cause she wrote erotica and all that at first, and then she went into paranormal. And she was so deep into the vampire scene with that, and how she had this huntress going out to vampires and different things. You know, anybody who was in that genre, they didn't care if she was black or white. They was just reading it because they loved the series. And that's the objective that we need to do as an author, is we should be so good that people don't care what color you are. They just want to read your work, like Walter Mosley, what he does, and a few others that are out there. That's the objective of an author, what they should do. So I that's the reason why I keep saying, you know, we've got to watch how we put our books out as far as the covers and all that, because if we really want to reach readers, then our objective should be that. Or do we want to reach just black folks? You know, that's the thing we got to look at.
Yeah, because, like, let's be honest, like, there are people who write about us all the time. You know, there are always black characters. In The Hunger Games, there are actually more black characters than any other character. But
finding out that
the
series of Grey
has
black characters as well. I didn't know that. On the chat room, I just found out that there's African-Americans in that book, and I didn't know that. I really didn't know that.
But, and the thing is, it's not, like, sometimes you have to sit down and look at the quality of the book versus the characters, because the characters are going to be all over the place. You know, we're going to have different characters because we want them to represent different personalities, different, you know, rules, foundations. You don't want the same type of people in any type of book, you know, and that's just a fact. It's just all in how you market your book. If you're only going to market to one section of the population, then you may get exactly what you desire. So sometimes you can't just, you know, throw the same stereotypical people on the front of your book and say, well, I want to sell books to everybody. Well, you've already limited by putting the cash in the car and the skyline and the guns on the book. You know, and I don't know too many big name, I don't know too many big name companies that do that and have the book sell.
Right.
You know,
it depends on what people are trying to do. And if that's their objective, to only sell to a certain amount of folks because they think they want to touch those people, then I guess that's what they want to do. But like I said, to me, my success is to branch out more than just in one area. You know, if I don't care if people know I'm black or not. If they find out, that's fine. I mean, it's not information that's not going to be told or known, but I just feel that I'm writing to people who want to read, and that's what I try to do. And all my books have always had multicultural characters in them. So the peculiar ones, for example, that I have, the Vampire Series book that I have out, it's about Africans who were slaves that were brought here, and they had an interaction in Africa before they were brought here with Dracula, who gave them this virus and made them vampires. So they came here to the United States with that. But then there's things that go through history. I'm taking them through history of different times in history of things that are going on that's actually been documented, like when the Ku Klux Klan started. So there's other characters in there that are going against them, and they're fighting and doing these different things. But you got to be creative that way to bring in different stuff. And I'm also teaching history, so if you read that, you'll get a history perspective of it, and you'll also get the paranormal piece and the sexual piece. So you got to be able to offer a lot of things to people that they're not getting somewhere else and make them interested. And I think that's what's important.
Right.
Instead of just writing about the streets and the gang and drugs and the drug dealer went to jail, he came out of jail,
and
his woman is now running the company, and then his arrival guy has his woman now, and, you know, all that stuff. I mean, it's great, but it's the same story. How many times can you tell it?
Like you said, your story has universal appeal, and it does. If you write a good story, it doesn't matter who the characters are, because the reader is going to imagine them in their own skin. The reader does all the imagining. You don't even have to say anything. You can just say they had dark hair and olive-colored skin, and all of a sudden the reader has this depiction on who they want that person to be. So, I mean, that's just what it is. But if the story is good, the character is irrelevant, just as long as, you know, it's a good story.
Yeah, I got a review on my Curse of the Nocturnal Seductress book. And that book, And we'll get back to you, Claudia, because we definitely want to talk more about you and not just us. But I just want to say this point. The book, I got a review on that book, one review, and it said one of the things that the person said in it was they couldn't tell if the people were black or white. That was done intentionally because I was not trying to make it a certain race. I mean, because automatically when people see you black, they think you got to write black stuff, and it's not true. I mean, look at Octavia, I forget Octavia's last name. Butler,
Octavia.
There you go, I'm sorry, thank you.
Yeah.
Yes, Butler, and she was a science fiction writer for years, writing science fiction. Nobody knew until later on that she was a black woman, you know, because her science fiction was so deep and, you know, phenomenal. But, you know, it's just because a lot of times people think we don't write nothing but urban.
Yeah.
So if you put it out there like that, then that's what it's going to be. Yeah. That's all they're going to think. Well, let them stay in that area over there. We don't care if it's written wrong or if it's all street talk. And, you know, it's easy to write that stuff because you can write the slang and you can write the way you talk and it don't have to make sense to nobody but who's supposed to be reading it. But, you know, if you're trying to reach more than just that group, then you got to do something else.
Yeah, Zane came out of the book last year. She didn't let anybody know who the characters were until the very end, you know, and people still read through the book like, oh, it caught me off guard because I didn't know this, I didn't know that. You know, so sometimes it's in how you tell the story. The characters don't have to be anything. They could be Martians for all we care. But if you tell a
Absolutely.
Great story, then, you know, just as long as the character interaction is genuine, who cares where they come from? Who cares what their backgrounds
right.
are?
Right. And also, Go ahead, Claudia.
That's a good point. It makes me think about Toni Morrison in the sense that when she wrote Paradise, she said it was intentional for her to write it in such a way that there was no emphasis on who's black and who's white in the story. She just simply wrote a great story where you connected humanistically
right.
with the characters and you didn't worry
Absolutely.
About who was white or who was black.
Right. Well, you know, another
because
thing, too,
we all know, when people care about them characters, the characters are essentially real to readers. They're real, you know, so, I mean, and that's the only thing that you want. You want readers to have that attraction and that consideration to understand that these people could be, you know, people next door to you. You know, and like I said,
right.
if you do something wrong with the characters, they'll jump down your throat. But when you do
right.
something right with your characters, they fall in love and wonder when the next book is coming out. What happened to so-and-so? Like, they real people.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Like, there's a couple of points I want to make real quick, and then I'm going to check this caller to see if they have something to say. One is coming from the chat room, and it's saying that a lot of this, though, is there's still segregation within the literary game or within the literary world by putting your books in some bookstores. They have put books in separate sections. I went to a Barnes & Noble the other day. I guess they're trying to get away from that now because they're starting to blend books together. Instead of having an African-American section or whatever, you know, they're trying to now start blending these books because they want to make it where it's not segregated. People go through it, they look at a book, and if they want to get it, they get it. It used to be that you had to go and if you wanted to find an African-American book, it might be upstairs in the corner in the back. It might be four or five or whatever that's there that you can choose from. But now it's getting to a point where they're trying to start blending in because that's what they have to do in order to sell because people are getting upset. And a lot of the mom-and-pop stores are gone now that they used to have because of the Internet and everything else selling books. And Kindle and a lot of these things are putting them out of business. So if you want to get your work, I mean, you have to really look at it. The second point, I don't even know what I was going to say. But anyway, we just got to read.
I have a comment. I wonder why Zane stayed invisible when she first came out. And you never saw
because
a picture of her. You simply just saw C-A-N-E.
I can answer that. First she used a pseudonym, and she still does, Zane. That is a household name now. At first, he didn't want people to know who she was because of the simple fact that she was a she or a he, because, you know, the nature of what was coming out, erotica was coming to black authors.
No,
it
she was
new.
She was selling it. She was she wasn't selling it. When she first started selling her books, you know, she was selling them on street corners. So they knew that she was a woman. But ultimately what it comes down to is you don't want people to judge you based on how you look. You want them to judge them on the content of the story. So, you know, she maintains her anonymity, which is something I applaud her in, because it is very, very hard in this age, in this day, to do stuff like that. But I'm sorry, Ray.
DV, she didn't always look the way you're talking about now, okay? In the beginning,
okay? Yeah, well, that's true.
A lot of it is, you know, she just didn't know if it was going to make it. First of all, the first books that she put out was blogs that she got from people that wrote to her, asking her questions about sexual things that she was answering. Second, she didn't want her husband to know about it, and she's not married to him now, because she didn't want him to know that she was doing this. So there was a lot of reasons why she went that way. And one of the ways that she came out was her son had one of her books. I don't know if it's true or not. This is a rumor that's out. Her son took one of her books to school, and he told this girl that he liked about the book, and she got it, and she found out that that was his mother, because he said, that's my mother wrote this. So, you know, it was just one of those things that she just wanted to stay hidden, and it worked for her, and it's still done. Well, she's out now, but it worked for her for a long time, but now she's a household name. If she puts Zane Presents on anything, her brand is so strong that people will pick up the book and buy it and read it just because her name is on it, even if the book is garbage. If the person could not write shit, and because it has Zane Presents on it, you know, they're gonna pick it up. And that's what the goal that you want to do as an author. You want your brand to be in such a manner that people will pick it up, household name it, because that's who you are. So that's the thing. But let me see real quick. I may have a caller that may have a question I'm going to ask, and the area code is 810. Do not hang up. If you do not want to say anything, I understand. You don't have to. I don't want you to leave. Do you have a question?
Hey, Ray Snapper. This is Toy Honey.
I didn't have a question,
but I have something to say because you guys said a lot of interesting things. I'm a poet myself, and I'm a writer, and what I love to write is romance and erotica, and Zane was one of my influences, and I'll tell you how. I was scared at first to write erotica, and then I seen that she was doing it, and I mean, she was like a best-selling author. I'm like, wow, okay, if Zane can do it, I can do it too, but I started off doing short stories, then back to poetry, and right now I'm halfway done with the poetry book that I'm trying to get out, so.
Why are you trying? Are you going to get it out or are you not going to get it out?
Oh, I am getting it done.
Okay, so do not use the word trying, because you will get it out. Okay. All right.
Okay.
Okay. So did you have a question or you just had a comment?
I just had that comment.
So are you now more, I mean, because at first I'm going to tell you, I came out with Red Snapper, and before people knew who I was, my pseudonym, they thought I was a woman because being Red, a snapper, you know, they figure a woman, you know, she's a snapper, the pussy snaps or whatever, you know, that kind of thing. But then when they found out, I guess when they started reading my books, you can see a little male perspective in it, but I try to write in a manner where it's not male chauvinistic because I don't want to be one-sided. That's the reason why I write different types of sexual situations, including gay and lesbian type stuff, because I don't want people to think that all I care about is a man getting what he gets from a woman and that's it, because you can't be that way, especially in the erotica game. So you got to be able to put everything out there. It doesn't mean that you do it all. And it's unfortunate that everybody who reads what you write, they think you've done it. I mean, if I've done all the shit that I wrote about, I wouldn't even be alive. I'd be dead like a motherfucker. But no, I have not. I have not done everything, but I'm just saying. I would like to do some of that stuff, but I mean, you know, from experiences and going around and what I've seen, you know, it's probably why I'm single now and don't have anybody because of it. But whatever the reason, I love what I do. So it's just, you know, you put it out there and you got to be confident in it and love it. Just like Claudia said, Miss Moss, and we're giving you that respect. But like Claudia said, she is into herself. And her thing is there. She knows herself. She's confident. So why not? That's how you got to be in any genre you write in, you know, whether it's, you know, poetry or whatever. You got to be that way. And to me, poetry is harder to do because it's more feeling and expression than me writing a 300-page novel. I could talk about fucking all day long, but the way you describe it in a short
court poem. You see what I'm saying? It's got to be done quickly in a manner that's sensuous and get people right then. Because I feel like this, and I'm going to shut my ass up. If you write erotica and you can't get nobody hot with the shit, or if you're not getting hot on what you wrote, then it ain't worth the damn.
Yeah, that's true.
So, you know, if you can't get yourself off on this shit, then how do you expect somebody else to get hot on it? That's my thing. Okay. So, Claudia, what do you think about this?
I think that is so true. If the heat index is not having you sitting in your seat, moving and grooving and looking in the mirror and thinking, oh, yes, I can do this, uh-huh. And if you don't have to stop and reread it and wipe your forehead, it's just not working. So you get somebody else to read it and get their comments. And before I go any further, let me say greetings, saludos to Sister Choi. You said Choi, honey?
Yes.
Greetings
we
tonight.
Have you, Choi.
Yes, so nice to have you to drop in and share. We are sisters of the same kin.
Let me tell you something real quick, Claudia. I'm going to say this to you, baby. It's like this. If I'm writing and I feel like I got to stop and relieve myself while I'm writing this shit because it's that damn good, then I'm going to do that. Then I know that's a hot-ass goddamn shot part. So, you know what I mean? People laugh and they talk shit. But I'm just going to tell you. I mean, if it's not getting you like that, then how, I don't see how you expect somebody else to get that way. I mean, if it's
that's
not,
exactly right.
Right.
That is right.
So, you know, I'm not ashamed because I'm confident in my shit. You know, I do it, though. So since we got Toy on the show now, how you doing, baby?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
All right. So what you got going on? What you say you got a book coming out? When is it going to drop?
I'm halfway finished with it. Cause when I started it, like I already had these poems that I had already written. And I had already started on this novel that I haven't finished yet. And the novel that I'm writing is like a romantic drama. But this poetry book, I was like, okay, I get this done quicker than I get this novel done. Because my muse for that novel, I'm trying to get it back. But for this poetry book, my muse is strong. So that's why I was like, I'm halfway done with this book. By this fall,
Let me ask you, because you might be finished with it. How many pages are you trying to get with this poetry book? Because, you know, a poetry book doesn't
have
to be that long.
At least
you don't want your book
like,
to be... You don't want to have
over,
it no more than 30 pages
50.
Or 40 pages. No, I think that's too much for a poetry book. And but that's my opinion. Of course, you can put
not,
out what you
not,
want.
Not
but
if
I think
it's erotica and romance, and this is some high
no,
erotica
you,
and romance.
You want this poetry book to be no more than about 45 to 50 pages at that. Reason why is because you're trying to you're drawing the people in and everything, and you want to just give them a snippet
mm-hmm.
of so that you can bring out more poetry books if that's what you choose to do. You don't want to give them too much at one time in the
mm-hmm.
poetry book. Now, I'm not a poet, but I'm just saying your poetry books are not supposed to be a novel, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So you want to give them that taste. So you probably already got your book ready is what I'm saying. So you might want to go ahead and think about that. Take some of them down that's in there. Get your best 25, the hottest 25 that you want to come out with. Start with that, and then you can make another book. You probably got two or three poetry books right there already is what I'm saying. And then that'll give you time to go ahead and get that out there, get people to know who you are so they can get a snippet of you and want more of you. Then you come out with this damn novel and fuck their ass up. That's what you want to do.
I'm
just giving you a suggestion.
Rick,
I mean, yes.
Let me, I find that quite interesting because I'm going to bring out a poetry book as well, and you advised her about 25 poems. And keeping the book short. Toy, honey, are you thinking about a Kindle book or just the physical and the Kindle all around for your release?
Oh, you know, I hadn't really thought about Kindle, but I was thinking about doing it anyway because that's what a lot of people are doing. If they can't buy it or if they can't get it off the shelves or anything, they go online and either they order it or they get it on Kindle. So I was thinking about doing Kindle too.
Yeah, you want to do Kindle, sweetheart. You want to get that because can I give you another suggestion?
Mm-hmm.
What you want to
go
do
ahead.
Is you want to release the Kindle version first, like a month out as a filler. You put the Kindle book out first. Let them get to know who you are, get some reviews on it. And then you're going to, those people that want to hold it in their hand, they're going to really look at that, and they're going to be like, when is that coming out? Then you put out that one like a month after that or 45 days after that, and I'm telling you, it's going to help you out a lot because it gives you a feeler. People will get a chance to see what's up. You want to push them to do reviews of what they've read, and if you can get reviews of it before it goes on, when you put it out there, that's good too if you can do that. I don't know who you're going to be publishing with, but if you could do that, that will help you in your sales and get it out there. Do you do you actually get on stage and do spoken word as well, or you just poet? Or I mean, because there's a difference.
I call in the BTR shows. I used to be a co-host of a BTR show, so I basically call into a few BTR shows. I've been doing it for like a year, so they're kind of familiar with me. So
well, I know where you
I'm
are
just
too.
I'm just trying to get out there more, and that's why I said I'm working on this book. So once I get this book out, they're like, "Oh my goodness!"
Right. So Claudia, did she answer your question for you? Because I know I kind of jumped in. I'm sorry about that, baby.
Oh, yes, yes, and I have a question for you as well in regards to what we're talking about here with Toy. When you think in terms of a Kindle book read, how many words or pages do you think would be ideal for a Kindle book? And let's cross over to the romance novel or the erotica novel on Kindle, because I've read so many different things, 80,000 words. I've read some just 250 to a little under 300 words to give them a taste of good Kindle novels.
You know, my thing with Kindle, just you can't look at Kindle as being something that's a short. Your Kindle should be, if you're putting out a paperback book, it should be the same length, same amount of words as your paperback when you put the Kindle out. So unless you're writing a novella, or you're doing something small intentionally and you're only going to put it out in Kindle, then you can write a small 30,000 word book or something like that if you want to do that. But me, I think if you're going to go through the all of that, Kindle is just easy. I mean, it's so easy to put it out there like that now. You don't have to have an ISBN. You can put this book out. You can get the cover done and put on, and you can do it. I mean, it's so easy to do it. You can set the price. My thing is a lot of people have been putting them out of a 99 cent and all this stuff. We talked about this on the show before. I think DV's still on here. You know, you're really cutting yourself short when you do that. I mean, I've done it for like holidays and stuff like that. Got a lot of sales. But my thing is, if you're going to put a lot of work in a book, you know, you want to sell it. And I'm not saying sell it for $10 like some of these mainstream companies do, but, you know, put it at a reasonable price where people want to actually get your book, because the way it's going now with Kindle, if you pay. So those people who have a Kindle Prime, they pay a certain fee a year, and they'll get your book free anyway, because that's part of Kindle Prime, to download your book free. So, you know, they get the book anyway. So my thing is you want to reach as much as you can, so you want to set a nice price, $350, $250, $299, something like that. But if you're going to do just a Kindle book and you want to just do a short erotica story just to give them a snippet of you, 30,000 words or less, well, I would suggest – I mean, I wouldn't try to put out a book that's 20,000 on there, because I've seen people do that, and to me it's just, I mean, it gives them something, but I mean, what do you, unless you think you're not going to make it, you got to have confidence in yourself, you just go ahead and do it. Now, when I do my books, I put them out in Kindle versions as well, so, you know, I do that automatically, because some people just prefer it, some want the book in their hand, and I don't think Kindle is going to take over. It's there now, but there's still going to be those people that want that book in their hand. So you got to look at it like this. Essay at 20,000 words, you think somebody's going to pay some money for that? Probably not. So that's the thing you got to look at. And if you're going to go through the trouble to write a great story, then just expand it out. You know, you can do it. So hopefully I answered your question. I don't know if I did.
Well, you did, because you can always, if you're indie published or independently published, you can always put it out on CreateSpace.
That's true. There's several ways you can put it out, create space or however way you want to do it. That's true. But my thing is, you know, if you're going to do just Kindle, you don't even have to do CreateSpace. You can just go to Kindle. Amazon has it where you go straight to that, because CreateSpace is Amazon as well. You can also go to Kindle Amazon Publishing and just put it out there. And you don't even have to deal with CreateSpace. CreateSpace is if you want to have a paperback book that you want to put out through Amazon, and they get so much royalties from it. You know, they give you ISBN as part of it, because they know they're going to get money off your book. So they'll give you that free. You know, they'll let you design your cover there, or you can bring a cover in. You know, it's a good way to get your book out there, but it's not going to be under your own publishing unless you don't desire to be a publishing company yourself. That's a good way to get your book out there. That's true. So, you know, it just depends on what you want to do. There's so many ways to get published now. But the main thing is you have to be able to make sure your stuff is edited and you want your stuff to be, as clean as possible. But nothing's perfect. Some people want their stuff to be so perfect, and it's just not going to happen. I mean, mainstream companies put out books all the time by big authors that are not perfect. But because people like them, they'll still buy the books. And, you know, a lot of people just complain. I get tired of some of these editors. I mean, these reviewers out there who dog these books, mine included, you know, because of editing or whatever they think. I even had somebody dog me one time because they said I didn't have safe sex in my book. That shit still baffles me. I didn't have time. I didn't put the person was putting the rubber on, so they gave me a 1 star because of that. It's just fucked up. But, you know, people have their own opinions. That's the only thing I hate about reviewers. I think they should have classes, or somebody should have some kind of educational background in that, not just be an educator in journalism, but some kind of way that you can get certified to be a critique of that, because a lot of people put their personal self in that, and I think that just really just, you know, messes everything up. But anyway, I've talked a lot tonight. Stevie, are you still there?
No, that's okay.
Yeah, I'm still here.
No.
Okay, so
that's
my,
okay,
you know, my, go ahead, baby.
I like Red. I like that you get a range of views when you get those reviews on your novels, because you know what? I've found that sometimes when I go pan the top books on Amazon to see what their reviews are and to just read the sample, the beginning of the book, I will tend to look at the reviews that were given, the bottom of the barrel reviews, just to see what somebody says about them, and it's not for me to decide whether or not I'm going to read that book, because I don't let somebody else's opinion stop me. But I like to see what these people out here are fighting when they give someone a negative review.
That's right. You're right. And yeah, my thing is, you know, it's just like any other business out there, okay? You know, you got people, you got friends, you got folks that'll get yours, they'll put these reviews out for you. You got other authors that'll put good reviews out for you. So, I mean, you know, it's not really, not saying that they're not legit. But, you know, there's ways to get around stuff. Just like there's ways to become a New York Times bestseller, there's ways to become a Essence bestseller. If you go into a place that is a part of the hub that reports to those entities, and you buy 1,000 books that 1 month, you'll get on the list. But that's cheating. People do it all the time. Big companies do it all the time. Why do you think all these people get on these bestseller lists? It's not because they're selling so many books. A lot of them will sell them and write them off. They'll give the books away or something. It's a tax write-off, and then they get the accolade that they want. That's one way of doing it.
That's right.
Then there are some that are actually out there really selling these books and that people are really buying them. That is happening, too. I'm not saying that everybody does that. So anybody that's listening, please don't think that's what I'm saying.
It pisses me off. Everybody wants to call themselves a best-selling author simply because they sold in, you know, Poughkeepsie, Michigan. They were the bestseller there. So they're like, I'm a best-selling author. So the thing is, it's kind of lost its appeal, you know, because everybody's best-selling. But, you know, I can't tell you how many books I've seen where they had best-selling author so-and-so. I've never heard of you. Where have you best-selling? Oh, in some magazine, that some obscure magazine in the middle of nowhere no one's ever heard of, I'm the best-seller in that one. So, I mean,
well, like
I said,
you know, right there in Atlanta, there are some hubs there. I could go down there and probably sell about 2,000 books. Buy them myself. They don't care. They'll report that to Essence, and I'll be on the list that next month. It's that easy. But, you know, it's just the way it is. It's the game. That's why I call it the literary game, because it's just like the music game. This business is the same as the music industry. It's the same thing with royalties involved. And the only difference is, it's the same thing. Just like when you're in a mainstream company, and if you don't sell something in that quarter, then they're looking to drop you. I mean, they give you maybe a year. But if you're not selling, they're going to drop you. It's the same thing that goes on in this game. You know, if your books are not doing what they're supposed to do when you're with them, then it's going to, you know, you're going to have that problem. But if you're an indie publisher, or if you have your own publishing company like I do, you know, I determine whether the book continues to go or not, you know.
Hello?
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 Did we
I think Greg got booted.
I think okay. Red Snapper got dropped.
Yeah, I do too. This is the first. The host
wow.
addressed him his own show. I'm a clown him. I'm clowning for weeks for this one.
BTR usually acts up like this.
Ah, man, this is bad. Okay, hold up. I'm going to hang up and call again and see what happens.
Is that BB having trouble with his line? Hello?
Okay,
hello?
I'm here. I'm sorry. I got disconnected. I am so sorry about that, but we're back. So,
I was wondering what happened.
Yeah. What I was saying was, and hopefully DV will come back. But anyway, what I was saying was sometimes Blog Talk Radio does that, and that's the only thing I hate about it. But other than that, this is a real good entity to get your stuff out there. But anyway, back to what we were saying. I'm sorry that we got cut off. I was saying that, you know, it's just like any other industry out there. You have to look at what you're doing with your book as far as, you know, the sales and stuff of that nature. I mean, if you're not intending on being in the publishing part of it, you just want to write, then like she said, there's Create Space and there's other things that are out there that you know, that you can do to get your stuff out there. But the main thing is you got to make sure you edit, you know, try to get it as clean as possible. But the
Absolutely.
Thing is, you know, it's not going to be perfect. Just understand that, because there are people sometimes, they just want their stuff to be perfect. You know, they want the periods right and all this. And you try to do that. I'm not saying it's impossible. But what I am saying is you know, you just got to try to get it out there as best as you can. And if it does end up having a few things wrong, it's not, you know, it's not that bad. But there are editors, I mean, there are reviewers out there that will dog your stuff for that. And I don't get it. I mean, it's supposed to be entertainment. This is what we're doing. We're offering an entertainment entity to someone to read our work, and we want it to be good. But they want to judge you on where you put the comma. They want to judge you on how you, what words you use for certain things. And I think that's just taking it over the top.
Mm-hmm.
I really do. I really think that's just taking it just too far. And I don't understand why that has to be. So just know that a lot of times your work may not, people may think that it's this way. And everybody's not going to like your work. So Tori,
that's
understand
true.
That. Everybody's not going to like what you do, and you don't want everybody to like what you do. You know, you want them to have their own opinion and be able to read other stuff. And then you got other authors who, well, and I hate to say this. I don't want to. I'm just going to be honest. Can I just be truthful with you?
Absolutely.
I'm just going to tell you. There are other authors out there that are jealous that if you sell more books than them, that they are, you know, they don't want you to do that. So they'll try to, like, people can't read more than one book, okay? You got a book, I got a book. When they get through reading your book or my book, they're going to have to read something else. So why do you have to dog the other person out or mess up their stuff that they can't sell because you want them to buy only you? But you got some crab mentality authors out there like that. It's mostly us. I hate to say it, but, you know, that's what's going on. So all those things are happening in the literary world. You got to know that. You got to have thick skin when you go out there, because people are going to be writing all kinds of shit about you on reviews. If they review it. Another thing is you get a lot of people reading your shit, and they don't even want to read that shit, your work, and they don't even want to review it. I mean, you know, they get it, and then they act like they ain't got time to go on and do a review. That's how we know if we're doing what we're supposed to be doing is right, or we're putting out the right thing, or people are getting what we're trying to write. If they don't give you a review, then what's the use? Really, I mean, I don't know. What do you think?
I would love
I think what
for,
you're saying is
for,
right.
Yeah, okay. So what did you say? Okay, Claudia, you said something, and
I,
both
saying,
of you did,
I
but I'm going to go back
for,
and forth with both of you.
I'm just saying I would love for my readers to leave a review, because that opens a channel of communication between the author and the reviewer. It's like a performing artist to me. If the performing artist is on stage and gets no kind of energetic response from the audience, it's like performing to an empty auditorium. What's the use? It's a practice session for hopefully going out for the big deal. You need that exchange of synergy and energy from between the author and the reader. So I encourage them to leave reviews. And then I have found that sometimes when they leave a negative review, like the very first review that I got on my novel, If You Love Me, Come, on Amazon, was from a reader who said, I can't understand it. I can't understand the book, so the author is too much over my head. And that was it. She gave me a one star or a two, and said, well, it was only so much, so maybe I'll come back and give it another try. Well, sometimes that review will encourage somebody else to go forward and pick it up and read it to say, I wonder what she meant by it was that so much far over her head. And to me, I think with reviews, I have learned to read them and let them go and to not really get mired in this woman saying my work is too scholarly, almost. That's all I can term it as, scholarly. But I didn't feel it was scholarly when I was writing it.
The title got me fucked up already, because you're talking about, if you love me, come, shit. I'm trying to like, okay, I want to come, shit. Well, anyway, I don't know. You are a very, very intellectual woman, so I guess maybe they was looking for Shaniqua and shit in the book, and she wasn't there, so, you know, they move. But like I said, you know, everybody has their own what they want to read. That's why we got to make sure we understand who we're marketing to. You know, you don't want to just put something out there and people pick it up and then they don't understand it because you failed to let them know who you're marketing to. You know, you got to let them know, okay, this is what it is. Now, if you don't want to read this, you have a choice to go read that over there. And that's the problem, I think. Like I was saying a few minutes ago, you got some authors, not all of them, you got some that they want all the damn people to read just their shit and nobody else's, you know. So, you know, they're going to make sure that nobody goes to yours because they're trying to get everybody over to them. So, but there's plenty of work out there for everybody to read. There's lots of stuff.
I agree. I think authors need to network more. I think
they don't
want to
help each other.
Yes. I think the literary game needs to include more of author networking across racial lines. That we're in this thing as authors. It's our business to publish and tell a great story. So let's see how we can come together and learn from one another. Even if we learn from one another via these type shows, via our author blogs, or reaching out and emailing an author and asking questions.
You know, all that what you're saying happens, and then you got some that they feel like, if I got to tell you how to do something, then you need to pay me, or, I mean, you need to go out there and do your own research. You know, there is a certain point that I think that you should go out and do certain things, okay? I'm not saying that you should just give all the information to them, but my thing is me personally, I would, because that's me. But then there are some that feel like, okay, well, you know, I had to go out there and learn how to do it. How come they can't go out there and learn how to do it? I mean, you got some assholes out there that don't want to help nobody. All that what you're saying sounds great, but you got some people that they don't want to do that because they feel like they want to, you know, you go out there and do like they did, find your way through. I mean, you got some mainstream authors that will say stuff like, you know, I don't understand how these people with these urban fiction books can get stuff out because it ain't edited well and all this. I had to go through all this to get to where I'm at. And, you know, I mean, I'm sorry you had to go through shit harder than me, but guess what? It's the way it is now. I mean, you ain't got to go through a mainstream company anymore. You can just publish yourself and get it out there and sell, just like Precious did and all these other books. You know, I mean, those didn't go through mainstream people, all of them. You know, some of them went through just indie stuff, you know, or whatever. And it's that way, even in the music industry and all of that. You just don't need that anymore. So I'm sorry they did open some doors for us to be able to write. That's fine. I got that. But the game has changed. And a lot of them are worried about it because now they feel like, well, dang, we ain't going to get no money now because we got Kindle out here. We got people putting all this stuff out. So it's going to be harder for us, for people to come to us now because they got so many choices. That's why they be dogging everybody about, that's messed up. You don't want that. And then you got these cliques in the game
where you got certain authors that hang out together and do stuff like you're saying, and then you got certain reviewers that like them so much and they want to kiss their ass so much that they're going to always give them good reviews and always do that, and everybody else that comes in around in them, they're going to knock them out. That's what's going on out there, and I'm saying it on my show because it's true.
Uh-huh.
A lot of people don't want to go with that. They don't want to hear that, but it's the truth. You got clicks out there just like anything else. So, you know, they're going to always get the good reviews. Some of us may not get shit because they don't like what we do, or they don't like my show, so they want to dog me or whatever. It happens. I've gotten that. So, but I'm not going to change me because I'm going to make it the way I am and do it the way I'm doing it, and it's getting done. People, there is a fan base out there that reads my books. So, you know, if I don't never get to be a New York Times bestseller, if I don't never get to be an Essence bestseller, as long as people are reading my books and I'm getting it out there and they're enjoying it, that's the objective anyway. You know,
anyway.
Some people, they want all this other shit, whatever, that's fine. Okay, I'm sorry. Let me get off the box. What's up, brother?
We hear you.
Oh, okay. No, I wasn't sure if I was in it.
When you came back on, I clicked you back on.
Yeah, I got you.
No, but this is, and, you know, I kind of feel like this. It's those, and, you know, Ms. Moss said it earlier, it's kind of those negative reviews that kind of push you to be a better writer. Because if we didn't get those, we'd always walk around thinking that we was the shit and that we never did anything wrong. So sometimes they're motivators. If you let something as simple as a bad review kind of bring you down, then maybe this is not the thing you should be doing. You know,
that's what I said to Tori. You got to be thick.
Yeah, you should be doing something where everybody praises you. And, you know, I mean, that's just not realistic. No matter what you do, you know, you're going to get pats on the back and you're going to get kicks in the behind. You know, and that's just the nature of it is. It just so happens that, you know, whenever you write a book, you feel like you're putting your essence out there for people to judge. And you are. You are putting your essence out there. You are putting the truest form of you out there for people to make judgments. But in the same token, you can't let them get the best of you. Use the things that they say and become better so that the next time they have something to say, you know, it's not the same thing. You know, there are always going to be people who dislike what you do. They're always, you know, like you said, they're always going to be cliques. They're always going to be other people. So what? You know, screw them, because at the end of the day, if you do it on your own, that makes you that much better than everybody who decided to bind together against you. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
When it comes to, but ultimately it comes down to this. I am also one of those people that feel like if those people who did it before you open the doors for you, don't screw it up. And that's how I feel. I don't care if the genre is selling, you know, urban fiction, you know, erotica, whatever. Do it to the best of your ability so that you can give them something to be proud of. Don't just hand out crap. And then when it sells, you're like, well, it's selling, and people are reading it. Just because people are reading crap doesn't make it better than crap. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, the thing is because they open those doors for us, we should at least put the best foot forward, put the best foot forward that we possibly can in order to honor those people.
Exactly.
Yeah,
because
they're
the one that broke down all the barriers.
What you're saying,
we just benefited from it. They broke down the
barriers. All that stuff you're saying is right and correct, but the ones that's crying is some of those mainstream authors. Not all of them, but some of them. Because they worried about the way they came in, the way somebody else came in. It shouldn't matter. You're an author. If you got a book published, you're an author. Okay? It doesn't matter. Ain't nobody better than the other one. You know, you might have been seasoned longer and got more books out there. You might have a movie deal. But that still don't make you better. You're still an author. And everybody, you know, you go to these book conferences sometimes and stuff, and they want to put all the mainstream authors in one area so everybody can see them over there, and then they keep all the other people in the back. You know, it's
that's
not right.
The author's fault.
It should be.
Those are the promoter's fault.
That's what I'm saying. But
you can't blame the
I'm not saying it's the author's. I'm saying that this is some of the things that happen. I know I came out with that at the wrong, probably the wrong point. But anyway, I'm just saying it's just what the way they treat us. You know, we're all supposed to be the same, but they want to put it like, well, you new and you the pub, so we're going to put you over here with the unpopulars. But how do you get popular? It's marketing and trying to get yourself out there and trying to put the best product you can out there. But like you said, everybody's not going to like you. Everybody's not going to like what you do. There's going to be those clicks.
Remember,
you know,
we had
it's just
this discussion like a few months back. Remember, we had you know, when we were talking about joining a fraternity. And the thing is, writing a book is kind of like a fraternity sorority. They want you to go through the paces before they accept you. You know what I'm saying? And that's kind of what it is. There's nothing wrong with needing help. But if, like, you and I know, there are people who will not do a damn thing. They will ask you every question from now to eternity. And it's like, look, you know, part of the responsibility of being an author is knowing what you're supposed to be doing in addition to writing. You can't tell people everything and expect them to get it, because guess what? They're not going to retain that stuff. Come around and ask you again. I forgot what happened last time. How'd you do this? How'd you do this? What'd you do then? In order, it doesn't matter what job you have. If you're not learning the stuff that you need to be doing, you need another job, because it means you're not going to be any good at it. So, I mean, part of the responsibility of an author is knowing what to expect and knowing what you have to do.
My thing is, you need to go out there and research. I'm going to let the ladies talk in a few minutes. You do need to go out there and do research. But I feel like, I don't think that if a person comes to me and they ask me a question, that I should say, you need to go do research. I mean, help them out and then tell them that they might have to go do some research on some other stuff, but still help them out. You got some that don't want to do that at all. Or they want to charge you for them telling you.
Yeah.
You know, give a class of $75 online or whatever, and how you can become a this author, or how can you become a best-selling author. You know, they're selling it.
I saw one of your boys charge $35,000 for a consulting session. $35,000?
Right.
You know?
I saw that.
You know what I'm saying? I'm like, for real?
Are you serious?
I'm not saying no names.
I know who he is. But anyway, you're right. He's definitely doing it, and you got people that's paying that. Because to learn what we're talking about right now online free, they're charging. There's people out there charging for that.
And that's what I'm talking about. Most authors do not dislike helping people out. It's just that sometimes those people don't want to do anything for themselves. They want to ask you the answer for everything. It's like you did all the studying for the test. They just want the answers, you know. And you can't be a good author. You can't be a good author. You can't be a good anything if all you get are the answers without the work that comes to finding out what the answers are supposed to be.
Okay, I get that.
You know, you're not going to
get anything. I get that, but I'm just saying what I'm saying, I guess, DV, is this, and I'm going to let the ladies chime in on this because I know y'all got something to say. I get what you're saying. You want to help. You want to give them the direction. You know, I got that, but I just feel like, you know, if you help them a little bit with some stuff, hopefully you can motivate them to be able to go and look for more. I mean, if they're really serious about doing this. I mean, but I understand where you're coming from, and I agree with you there. So I'm going to let that. Ladies, what do y'all have to say on that?
What I have to say is, once you make sure you are doing a great job writing, rewriting, editing, then you've got to take the bull by the horns as far as marketing and promoting, and get out there and network and learn how and learn about the different ways to do it on getting your work out there. Do you tweet? Do you get on Twitter and befriend other authors and then approach as many people as you can to build your Twitter base and announce every upcoming novel, announce your reviews, hopefully good 4 or 5 star reviews. Do you get that base? That Facebook presence and other Google presences out there, and do what you have to do to tell the audience, and the audience is the universe, anybody who reads, share
right.
the word about who you are and what you're doing. And if you can do that with other like-minded authors, that your reach, I think, would be even more powerful.
Well, you know, I agree with you, but the part that I don't agree with is, you know, you can have authors as friends and all that stuff, but don't just put all your emphasis on them, because they're selling books too. And a lot of them look at it like this. A lot of them look at it like this, like I was saying earlier. It's like a competition, and it shouldn't be, but they're looking at it like that. Well, that's my competition. I ain't going to help them, you know. And it's bad that it's that way, but my thing is your people that's going to get you where you need to go in this literary game is your fans. The people that read your work. You know, you can have authors, you can contact some. There's going to be some that's going to be nice that you can get along with and do well with. I'm one of them. You know, I'm here. But my thing is you don't want to just focus on just trying to get authors to like you. And that's what a lot of authors do. They get in here, they start writing, and they want these other authors to acknowledge them. And that's in anything you do. They want to be recognized by their peers. That's in acting, anything. Yeah, you want that. You want to be recognized. But sometimes you get to a point and you do it for a while, you're going to be like, you know, no matter what you do, they going to like you or they ain't going to like you. So you just might as well just go ahead and do who you're really writing for, and that's the fans. And once you do well with the fans, guess what? They're going to recognize you after the fans and got you where you need to be. Then they're going to be in your face anyway.
That's a good point. That's an excellent point. Word of mouth.
Yeah.
It's word of mouth about your writing.
But the thing is sometimes you just want to find, like there are certain people that I enjoy traveling with, you know, from venue to venue. And the reason why is because I know we're selling each other's stuff. You know, I can't hang around those authors that are like, you know, who are under, like, you know, I'll sell my books 2 for $15, and so that they get their book, they say 2 for $10. You know what I'm saying? Right, you know. And the thing is, there, you know, don't get me wrong, I don't mind competition, but to me that's just kind of, you know, that's just kind of underhanded. You know, if we're all doing the same thing.
Well, that's what we've been saying the whole night. You know, it's just... You got these folks.
But those are authors. Those are other authors that you're constantly, you know, who are constantly, you know, cutthroat. You know what I'm saying? And let's just
call it what exactly. It is. That's the right word.
Cutthroat authors. You know, but just like I said before, there are authors who, when I was talking about the other authors helping each other, that's you know, I'm talking about with information. But when it comes to, I like traveling with authors who I know will have my back because I will have theirs. Those people who you're around who like, well, I'm not selling that much, I'm going to try to underbid everybody, I can't stand the type of people because now you're not, there's no camaraderie. Now you're just trying to say, well, you know, even though you sold more, I don't like you, so I'm going to try to underbid, you know, or undervalue my books. And I think that, look, if you're going to sell a book 1 for $10, 2 for $15, do it. Then we should all do it. We should all follow the same price points so that when people come over to buy our books, we can mix and mingle. Like me and Greg Burton, both authors, we up in New York, you know, we work the plan out together. If they want to buy his books and my books, we split whatever they buy. You know, and it's not that hard. You know,
that's good.
If they want to buy If they want to buy one of his or one of mine, so be it. They read both of our books. We split the profits down the middle. You can't buy his book. You know, you got to buy his book separately. The thing is, you enjoy those people that you can work with. You know what I'm saying? And you know, like I said, GB is one of my favorites because, you know, even though we're competitors, we'll at least work together. You know, and that's the least you can do with people who are doing the exact same thing you do. We got the same freaking job. We're working just as hard, you know, so why are we at each other's throats? And I don't get it.
Exactly.
See, my thing is, go ahead, say your speech, go ahead.
So, BB, you get together with other authors and you go out on the road on your own tours without different houses. I like that.
Yeah.
That's
how it's going to be done anyway, because houses don't send everybody out anyway. You have to, and BB has his own publishing company, so... His house is sending him.
See.
But my thing is, and so do I. But the thing is a lot of these mainstream companies don't really. They send some folks, but it depends on how well you're selling. If you're not selling, they ain't sending you nowhere. You got to get out there on your own anyway. See, that's another misnomer that everybody has. They think that because you get published by this company that they're going to market you and they're going to do all this. That is a lie. I'm telling you right now. You got to do all that on your own anyway. That's something that you got to do. That's why marketing is important because you have to sell your brand, which is you. Not the book. So people going to remember you. They're going to remember what you wrote, maybe. But if you're a good writer, they're going to remember books that you've written, or they know that you write well. You see what I'm saying? So that's how you get out there. If you happen to put yourself out there.
Right.
You know,
but
that's what everybody gets. They get the wrong idea, huh?
It was very rare to succeed by yourself. You know, you're not going to be able to survive, you know, just on your own. You need to find people who think like you, have a business mind like you, and get together with those people. Whenever you can branch out on your own, do it. But you always want to learn from the people who are already doing it.
You want to bond with people that don't, with that when you don't sell as many books, the sting is not as hard because at least you enjoy that they had success. It is competition. Don't get me wrong. But there are times where you're going to sell, outsell them 3-1, times where they're going to outsell you 5-1. But if you're happy in each other's success, that's all that matters. If you always think about me, my, and mine, like I say, you're in the wrong business.
Absolutely. That's the literary game. For those who didn't know, anybody that's listening out there that wants to get into it, it's just like the music business. It's just a different product. But you got to get out there, and you got people that are that way, that are cutthroat or whatever, and they just feel like they worried about you or whatever, or your product might sound better. But, you know, it's enough for everybody out there. I'm telling you, truly, it is enough for everyone to be able to get the joy and the process of everything that's out. You know, just enjoy everything that everybody else has, because there's so many books. There's so many people out there writing. Why can't you be able to do it? But like you said, when you go on these tours, hopefully you can be on some with people that are like you. You go on a tour with them, you hook up with people that are like you. I definitely want to go on a tour with DV, because I know we'll have fun and we'll do it and be happy about what we do, and whatever we sell is fine. I mean, that's great. But my thing is you want to be around some folks that's like that, because if you're around some people that all they care about is they self, and I've seen it, you know, it's just not going to be good. It's not going to be good.
You know, like I said, you know, you stick around the good people. Like I said, you know, I've done a couple with Anna Black. I've done a couple with Greg Burton. I've done a few with Tamika Newhouse. So, I mean, these are the types of people that you want to be around, because you guys are all working towards the same the same goal. You know, whenever you meet those people who are me, my, mine, you know, those are the people that you tend to want to stay away from.
Right. Yep. That's it. I mean, that's just it in a nutshell, basically. And then you have a lot that are, you know, that, like I said, you got some that they want to try to treat you like you're a new author, so they want to treat you like, okay,
oh, yeah,
you know, you're just getting into the game now, and blah, 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 and all this. You know, I mean, but dang. You know,
But you know, like I know, everybody up here who has had a book out there, it's not about only the book. It's about you. Like 90% of marketing, it's right. 90% of marketing is knowing how to sell to people. You know, if you're sitting down on your behind and people walking by your table and you're not engaging them, you just missed out on every sale right there. Yep. I can't tell you how many times I've been someplace and lost my voice trying to talk to everybody.
Right.
You know, and when you have passion about your book and you have passion about your project, and you know how to articulate that, people want to buy your book because they believe in what you're telling them. You know, and
well, you know, the main thing that you got to remember on this is, he's right what he said, but the main thing you got to remember is, you're the brand. The book is only temporary. The lifespan of a book is maybe, if it gets to sell like it's supposed to, the way you hope it will, maybe a year. If that,
well,
6 months. But my thing is people, you want people to know who you are. That's why you have to be, I'm not saying you got to kiss no ass, but you got to be presentable to people. You got to talk to them. You got to be able to sell like DB's talking about. You got to be able to talk to them about it, be able to be approachable. But you got some authors, you can't even walk up on them, because their air is so high, they up there so high that you can't approach them. You got to go to their publicist or something like that. They so damn high and mighty. You know, it's fucked up. But I'm just saying, you know, you want to be with people, because people are very sensitive. If they like you and they've been reading you all these years and your books are great, and they come up to you and they're so happy to see you, and you're like, but I ain't got time to talk to you right now. I just don't have time for you. That's going to shatter their ass. Well, they won't even fuck with you no more.
But
okay?
See, this is the one thing. Your book will last as long as you're willing to sell it. Because if you're an independent author, if you go to the same venues year after year, you can't sell the same book, because the same people will be there. If you're popping up at different venues every year, you can sell that book that's 2, 3, and 4 years old. But
yeah,
you
that's true. That is true.
To accompany it. You better have something new to accompany it, because people will forget you if you don't have something else for them to read.
Absolutely.
You know,
right.
So That's the thing. You can take any one of your books. You can take a book that you wrote in 2007 and turn around and sell in 2012, and people are like, oh, I've never read this book. You're always going to find those people. But don't go back to the same festivals and with the same book and expect to get more sales.
And you're right.
Right.
My first book came out in 2009, okay? I'm still selling that book today. One of the reasons, I'm not saying it's the whole reason, the only reason, but one of the reasons is because it's in a series. Now, I'm not saying you got to do a bunch of series and all that stuff to make sure people buy your books, but that's one way of getting people to buy some older books, because if they want to read what's going on in the series, they're going to have to start with the first one so you can get them to do that. And that usually works, uh-huh. But DV is correct. You got to have your old books there as well as your new stuff. You got to have something new to let them know that you're still out there, that you still got writing in you. You know, they got to see that, you know, or, you know, you want to do that. You want to have it. Now, I got 10 books, so I ain't going to be able to carry 10 books everywhere I go. But I'm going to have some of them where they can get them, or have a way where they can get it, and I'm going to have that new one there as well so that they can get that. You know, but maybe when I get rich enough, I can have all of them wherever I go. But the thing is you definitely got to do that. I mean, I can do that now. I'm just talking shit. But, yeah, you definitely got to, if you're going to have your old book there, you do have to make sure that you got something new that they can see. And like I said, if you're going to frequent the same places, like he said, you know, of course it ain't never going to happen. You know, they're going to, the same old thing that you had last year or whatever.
I read that book already, yeah.
Right. How many times did you want to read it? Did you revise it again? I mean, you know, I don't know.
You ain't read it in the dark, did you? Read it again.
Right. But what I'm going to do right now, because we've been talking, I'm sorry, Claudia, we kind of took over your spot.
No problem. Some people say if you have a backlist of titles that perhaps are off the shelf, then take them off the shelf, dust them off, maybe put on a new cover, maybe update the content and reintroduce those books.
Well, yeah, you can do that. Yeah, you can do that. Because I plan to do that myself next year, so that is good, because I'm going to revise some that editing may have been issues or something in the past, but I'm going to redo those as well and put a new cover on them and all that.
Uh-huh.
You know, and then, so that's a great idea as well. I had already thought about that. But my thing is you know, we got 22 minutes now, and I'm going to give both you and Toy a chance to tell people how they can get you if they want you to come and do a book signing, or how they can get your books, or what ways that they can contact you. So we can start with you, Claudia, and Toy, you go ahead and, since you're getting out here in this game, I hope you're still here, right?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay, so hopefully we've given you something that you can take with you, and you know, let's kind of let people know what you know, how they can get you in the future, because you're gonna be out there as well. So we're gonna go ahead and get you started right now. But go ahead, Claudia.
Okay, people can find me, Claudia Moss, at the email address MISSCLAUDIAMOSS, that's Miss Claudia Moss, @gmail.com. You can also find me on my author blog, which is www.thegolden-goddess.blogspot.com. And I'm also on Facebook as Claudia Moss, and I also have a fan page on Facebook as Claudia Moss as well. So there
I'm surprised you didn't do that in Spanish, because you be talking to me in Spanish all the goddamn time when I be talking to you on Facebook.
I absolutely love the Spanish language. Mira,
yeah, I know you do.
And
I don't understand shit you be saying to me. You could be cussing me out. And I'm like, okay. She spoke back.
But Spanish, I love Spanish so much so that I have it.
You
got
to talk English to me. I don't. You got to cuss to me or talk English to me. I don't know Spanish like that. I took it in college, but I just don't remember that shit. I needed a foreign language, and that was the easiest one to do. So, no, but anyway. She'll say some stuff to me on Facebook, and she's been doing it for years. And it's like, damn, what is she saying? But anyway.
so now you'll be able to read it in my new book, because I do have some Spanish characters who speak a little Spanish in the novel. So
Not a problem. So when is that dropping? When is the new book coming out?
That new book should be ready this summer, probably June the ending of June, the beginning of July. It's called Not Without Passion. The main character leaves a law firm to go out on her own, on her first love for photography. And when she makes that move, all hell breaks out in her life, and she has to find out what she's going to do and how she's going to do it. But she learns one thing, that life is even more magical with passion. When you get a feel for something or someone and you love it deeply, or you love them deeply, life is worth all of it.
Well, it sounds like it's going to be good, and I know I'm going to have to get a copy of that. So, Toy, when do you think your poetry book, do you have a name for it already?
Yes, I do. I don't want to say it.
Are you scared somebody going to bite it from you?
The idea.
Okay.
I like to be unique and original, and it is very original.
Keep it to yourself, then. If you don't have it copywritten yet, then keep it to yourself. But you have a publisher and all that already?
Actually, with this book, and my goal was, because I knew I wanted to put a book out, I self-publishing this myself.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, if you need a publisher, let me know, because I am a publisher. But anyway,
okay.
I got you.
Okay.
So I am taking authors in. I have authors that I actually put out one of my books this month from one of the authors, and I'm going to get her on the show. Her name is Sonia Artis. She has a book out called The Beginning, and it's very, very, very good book. It's about her life. It's part two of the book, and she wrote one first independently by herself and put it out.
Mm-hmm.
This is part two, and she wanted to come through the company here in Midwest Publishing Group, which is my company. And it's doing pretty well. I mean, she's already sold lots of them already, and the book just came out. And you know, there are people, book clubs are buying them and all that. So, but it's called The Beginning, Troubled Youth, Adoption, Death, and Resurrection. And it's part two to this Vanessa's Choice saga. First book is called Vanessa's Choice. So, yeah, it's pretty good. But anyway, so you're going to be coming out sometime pretty soon, and you'll let us know when you're coming out?
Yes, I will. Yes, I'm in the Wine and Words book club, so as soon as it's ready, I will be posting the link.
All right, well, you know, that Wine and Words book club is mine, so, you know, that belongs to us, so yes. And we're trying to get that book club to do a little bit more than just be online. We want it to be an actual book club. We started it online, of course, and somebody gave me an idea today, and I got to give them props for it, in the chat room, to start a Word Sexy Radio page, which I hadn't even thought about making a group for Word Sexy Radio, because that way we can get people that listen to the show, they can give us topics and stuff that they want to talk about and stuff like that. And you know, I hadn't even thought about that, but they gave me that idea, so I am giving y'all those props for giving me that in the chat room. So we're going to do that, and that's it. You know, I enjoy that. So what's new for you coming up next, Claudia? What's new?
What's new for me is a poetry drop. I'll be doing probably two poetry books. I am going to release a short story collection,
uh-huh,
and as well a poetry CD.
Okay. So you're going to be talking erotic and sexual and sensuous on there and all that? Am I going to get hot?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
You're going to get me? Because you know you're fine. I got to tell you, Claudia, I've been watching you for a while. So I'm just letting you know. I mean, I don't know if you got a man and all that, but that's okay. I'm just saying. Well, I mean, it wouldn't be Word Sexy Radio if I didn't say something, because that's the only what I do. So.
Absolutely.
Devia tell you, because that's me. That's what I do. I mean, I got the flirt. But, yeah, I mean, I have been watching you, though. I mean, I've even downloaded a couple of your pictures, so, you know, I'm just going to be honest.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay, yeah, I took some of your pictures. I got them and shit. I'm a cyber stalker. That's right. I got a couple of her pictures, because she got these pretty legs, man. That just blows the brother up. But, you know, I'm just, I have to, she's really good with that. Those legs are pretty, and I'll be on it. So, anyway, I'm probably putting too much out here on the air, but that's okay.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
You are welcome. You are welcome. And I've been wanting to tell you this for a long time, so I'm glad I was able to do that. So now, Toy, you said you're going to come out this summer, so make sure you let us know when you do get it out, you know, promote it. Take some of the things we said tonight and just, especially if you're really going to do it on your own, you're really going to have to get it out there. Because nobody's going to know who you are. I don't know if you're writing your real name or this name that you have given us. But whatever you do, just make sure that you really, really push it. Facebook is great. Twitter is great. Believe it or not, those entities work very well. Because word of mouth is what's going to get you out there more than anything else. But still, you want to get it out there. If you want to go Kindle or anything, if you got any questions, just let us know. We'll help you get there, you know, how to do that. I'm not one of those authors that's not going to help you. I will help you.
Okay.
You know, because you ain't my company. My thing is I'm going to sell my shit. So it's up to you to get to us out there. But I'm going to help you so you can. So you can't say that I didn't help you,
right?
You know, or whatever. I'm not going to be, I don't want to go down like that. But anyway, DV, what you got up, man? I know you got something coming up pretty soon. We got about 14 minutes. What you got going, man? When is your next one?
Well, you know, like, you know what? I'm aiming for fall. Like, I have it set in my head that fall is when I'm, because everybody's been screaming to me about Valentine's, so I've been trying to peg it out as fast as I can.
I know, but see, I'm the type,
I type with like two fingers, so, you know, I feel like all the other fingers are getting away, so some of them can't,
right.
I'll be pecking as fast as I can.
Well,
other
I'm a pecker,
that,
too,
you know, cool.
If you want to say pecker. I mean, I didn't mean like that. But anyway, yeah, I do that as well. But I plan
like
to have... Yeah, I do. Well,
the
I got my next novel.
Oh, you just cut me off.
I got you, man. I know what you're talking about, the other fingers. I got you. But anyway... I got this new novel,
you know,
supposedly my Scandalous Motives 4 is coming out. My goal is to get it out June 15th, but because I am the publisher, if I don't have it ready in time, of course I can adjust that. That's one of the good thing about being your own publishing company, CEO of that company and doing that. You can bring it out when you want to. You still set goals, but, you know, if you can't make it, then, you know, you can't. But I'm close. I'm about 3/4 of the way done with this novel, so it should be ready to go, hopefully at the end of this month, the first week of next month, to the editor so that I can get it edited and everything. The cover's already in the process right now of getting done, so I'm getting that done. ISBN's already done and all that. So hopefully it should be out because I want to have it out before July because I'm going to be trying to do some book signings and stuff and also try to get to some of these conferences that are left. You know, I'm going to start trying to do all that, too. So my thing is also to tell you guys, you know, if you want to get known as well, you got to go to some of these conferences. If you can afford to do it because that's how people are going to know who you are. You want to know these other authors and all this, and people know what you got out there and know who you are. That's one way that you're going to get it done. But like I said, Facebook is great. Twitter, you know, if you got your own blog. I mean, there's so many things you can do that to be successful in this, but it's got to be you. And if you get so good that you need a publicist or somebody, an assistant, get that if you can afford it. But my thing is you can't sit back and put a book on the shelf and think that it's going to sell, and that's it because you put it on the shelf. And that's what a lot of people think. When they get into this, they don't know the game. They think you just write a book, it gets published, it's going to automatically fly off the shelves. You're going to be a household name. That's bullshit. Doesn't work that way. Sorry. But anyway, I just want to let everybody know that it takes work in this. You gotta be willing to do this. If you're looking to get rich quick, then this is not the position or the job that you want to do. If you're looking to get money real fast, then you better go sell something else because this is not what's going to do it. So that's just it. And we want you to be successful. So, you know... Like I said, everybody's not going to be nice and help you. Just because you're an author and A1 doesn't mean that they have your best interest at heart. You have to make sure that you choose well, just like in anything else you do. But just remember that you want to try to put out the best, and your fans is the one that you really want to hold true to, is your fans. That's the people that's going to keep you out there and that ones that's going to keep you going. You don't want to be a one-hit wonder. There are one-hit wonders in this game, too, not just in the music industry. So if you want to stick around, you can, but you got to put it out there so people know who you are. So
Claudia, you got anything else you want to tell us? We got like 10 minutes, so we want to hear your voice more and Toy, too.
Well, I'd like to say I really enjoyed being on the show. I enjoyed the energy in the conversation, the tips for writers, just the differences in the opinions brought together to uplift us as writers. And I just appreciate being here.
Well, you know, you can come back anytime you want to. So when you got new books coming out and all that, just contact me or I'll be contacting you and asking you want to come back on. So that's what we do because we like to get people on as much as possible so they can do what they like to do. And that's not a problem. And you can, if you just want to call in one day and just talk shit with us, you can do that too. You ain't got to be getting interviewed. You are now an official member of Word Sexy Radio, so you don't have to be sitting back waiting on me to call you and say you want to come on the show. All right?
Okay, great. Thank you.
Okay, so hold on. Don't go yet. We still got a few minutes. I want to keep you on to the end. So, Toy, what you think? You think you ready for this?
I enjoyed the show, and I also enjoyed the conversation and the advice that you and BB gave about, you know, selling books and everything. I already kind of knew that because I have people on my friend list who are seasoned authors or poets, and I see the way that they market their books, so I'm learning from them. You know, I'm a student of life, so I'm learning.
Well, that's the best way to do it is look at how everybody's doing it and come up with your own way. Don't just stay in there.
Mm-hmm.
You want to come up with something that you got that's different that they're doing. But, you know, I mean, within reason, you know what I'm saying? I mean, like I say, it's still a competition, but you don't want to be where it's like my book is the only one and nobody else can read nothing else because ain't nothing else out there, you know, because that's how some people feel. But you just got to do it the way you feel. I mean, I can't tell you how to do it, but I know that there's other people that's writing out there. I want people to read my stuff, too. But I'm not going to be, you know, to a point where I can't help somebody. Because I think that when I help someone, it helps me get out there as well. That's just me, though. I mean, you know, some people think if they got to be an asshole, then fuck it. Let them be an asshole. I'm just not going to be one. So that's just me. But, you know, DV will tell you. I mean, that's just what I do, so. But I understand where he's coming from as well. You know, you need to earn your right to be there. It's like a fraternity. I mean, I'm in a fraternity, so I know that too. But yeah, so that's it. But DV, what happened to the ladies, man? They just stopped coming on the show, man. They don't want to be hosts anymore or what?
You got me. You got me. I'm not even gonna put words in their mouth, man.
I know it.
But you know, but everybody got responsibilities, especially, you know, summer's right around the corner. You know, kids, family,
getting out of school. Right.
Yeah.
We ain't got shit to worry about. Yeah. Just us, right? I got it. Well, ladies, thank y'all for coming on.
I got a teenager.
Well, I do too. He's not here right now. But anyway, you know, my kids is on the East Coast, so I get to see them when I can. They're not actually here and get me every day, but I understand. I understand. You know, actually, I'm going to see one of them graduate here in another couple of weeks from high school, so that's done. And then I have one left, and they'll all be out. That'll be great. But then they'll be in college. Anyway, but you know how that goes. But we definitely was glad to have all of y'all here, and DV, is always good having you here. You've been holding me down and being my backup. I appreciate you, man. If I never told you before, I do appreciate you. I'm glad that you decided to come on and be part of this and continue to do this with me because it's just good. It's just good to have that back, and I know that we can
bring right back
together
you,
and keep it going, man. You know, that's what it's about, and ladies, y'all get that one author or two or three that you can trust that's really there for you and it really cares about you and you care about them, and you can have that as well. So, you know, whoever that may be, can do that. So, I got your back, so, you know, just know that. But we thank y'all for coming on, and I'm going to let y'all go ahead if y'all like to go. I'm just going to play some music here for the last 5 minutes, but don't be a stranger. Come on back.
Thank you. Muchas gracias.
Thank you very much. All right.
Gracias, mira que tengas una buena noche.
Okay, thank you very much for whatever you said. That shit sounds good. But anyway, I'm going to be looking at your pictures now.
Thank you.
I'm just playing. I know it. I'm just messing with it. All right. Well, y'all have a good one.
Bye-bye.
All right, y'all have a good one.
Take it easy.
All right.
Girl, you just don't know. Last night was incredible. Yes. Check it out. Last night, I felt the skies open up and rain down heaven. Last night, I felt the sun, the moon and stars come together. Last night, I heard an angel speak to me, said us forever. And while we were making love, I saw visions of a tropical river. Last night, I touched a dream. When you were here with me, last night, I
touched a dream.
Girl, you fulfilled my fantasy. Tell me we wrote the book of love-making history. That night you brought my dream to reality. Now last night, ooh, I could have sworn I saw an eagle spread his wings. Last night I heard a massive choir lift their voice and
ooh,
sing.
Yeah.
Last night I saw the world living in peace and harmony.
Ooh.
While we were making love, feel my soul be set